My first guest this morning is someone I have known a very long time. Steve Terrell, longtime reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican and longtime legislative reporter for the Santa Fe New Mexican. We're going to talk about the goings-on we can expect at this year's 60-day party we call the legislature, which starts next Tuesday. And in the second half of the show today, we'll have the handsome, the brilliant, the funny Robert Knotts joining us for Speaking of the Arts. Good
morning. Is that a different Robert Knott than I know?
Good morning, Steve. Welcome.
Hey, Alice.
Yeah, no, it's the same Robert Knott. Before we get into the session, how long have you been a reporter here?
Oh, I started out at the Santa Fe Reporter back in freelancing 1980, and full-time like 83. I've also worked at the Journal North, and I've been at the New Mexican now. It'll be 28 years in August.
Wow, and they let you stay that long.
They let me stay. For some reason, I don't know.
And how long have you been covering the legislature? Because when I met you, you were covering cops.
That's right. We were competitors back
right.
in those days.
Uh-huh.
I've been at the, this will be my 15th regular session. So since, covered the legislature since 2001.
So you've been in the legislature longer than most of the legislators.
Well, there's some guys been there for since, 80s. So
the dawn of mankind.
Yeah. Well, Senator Altamirano died a few years ago. He'd been there since the year I graduated from high school back in 1971. So,
wow.
Some of these guys stay a long time.
No kidding. Term limits, we should talk. I should mention that covering the legislature is, to some people's way of thinking, the very top reporting job, especially at a capital city newspaper like the New Mexican. But Steve, you also write a weekly column about music.
Bi-weekly now.
Oh, you're calling?
I've slowed down for the music column here.
Oh, well, okay, a bi-weekly column about music. It's called Terrell's Tune-Up. It shows up in Pasatiempo. And then don't you write a weekly political column?
Yeah, I do the Sunday Roundhouse Roundup.
The Roundhouse Roundup. And you still host a radio show right here on KSFR, right?
Two.
There are two now?
Yeah, tonight and Sunday night. Got the Santa Fe Opry tonight. It's country music, as the good Lord intended. Sunday night is Terrell Sound World, which is just crazy rock and roll.
Yeah, I think it says on the website something like weirdo music.
Freeform weirdo radio.
Freeform That's weirdo
right.
radio. You know, most people couldn't do all. How do you do that?
I don't know how I don't know how I couldn't do it. It just comes to me naturally. I don't have a social life. That helps.
And you like a high level of stimulation in your life or something.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk first about the shift to the right in the legislature. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the November elections, the Republican sweep definitely hit New Mexico. And we reelected Susana Martinez as the governor. And to some people's surprise, including my own, actually, the Republicans took over the House of Representatives. And this is the first time since before I was born, and I'm 61 years old, so it's I've never seen it, and most people alive haven't seen it. So there's gonna be a lot of changes there in the old roundhouse.
Well, what will that look like? What does that mean in practical terms?
Practical terms is that the governor can get a whole lot of her agenda at least past the House, so there's going to be pressure from the Democrats to stop it there in the Senate. I think, most of the legislators, it's not like Washington, D.C., where they just rigidly hate each other. You know, both sides just rigidly hate each other. Mostly these guys are all friends, right? And a good many of them, and especially the ones who've been there a while. And so I don't think you're going to see, like, retaliation, like when the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia or anything like that. But I think through the session, we're going to be hearing cries from Democrats going, oh, they're being mean to us, they're retaliating. And so it might be, there might be some more tensions than usual. I remember a couple of sessions ago when the Republicans did real well and cut the margin just about two votes or something. Every committee meeting, everybody had to be there at all times for the important bills. You couldn't go to the bathroom or they'd kill your bill, you know. And so it's going to be very tight, very close, you know, because it's still a close margin, but you're going to see that. I've seen the last 4 years a lot more senators, especially Democratic senators, going over to the Senate. This year we have Mimi Stewart, who decided to take Tim Keller's old seat. He won for state auditor. And from what I've been told, the House just isn't as fun anymore. You know, that's, you really expected to be in line for your party and everything, and both sides. And so it's just not as fun as it used to be for the legislators in the House.
What are going to be the biggest issues? What's foremost in your mind, anyway?
Well, education's going to be a major one. The governor's trying to get her rest of her agenda in, and even get Hannah Scandera confirmed as secretary after 4 years. Might actually happen this year, though there's still opposition in the Senate. Robert Knott, when he comes, he'll know a lot more about the education issues. He helps us in the roundhouse for their education stuff. That's going to be a big one. Right to work is going to be one. That's for those who don't follow these type of things, that's when you say you can't require union membership as a condition of employment. And, you know, our unions aren't that strong in New Mexico. Got maybe 10% of the workforce. Where they're really strong is in the public sector. And
so who's behind that effort?
All the Republicans, basically. Nationwide, all, you know, big business.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily motivated by problems with New Mexico and with unions in New Mexico and wanting to break unions in New Mexico or anything, but more just this is the platform.
Yeah, and what the Republicans will say and have been saying is that almost every state around us, except for Colorado, has right to work laws, and that's and what they're trying to say is that's one reason we're behind in you know, the economic recovery. Democrats dispute that. Do CEOs really look at that closely? Well, some do, but there's arguments that not as much as they used to. So that's going to be, jobs is going to be the big argument there.
Yeah, so one of the arguments is we can't attract big new business because of our unions or the potential for unionization?
Yeah, uh-huh, because we don't have protections against the unions, I guess, is how they see it.
Uh-huh, okay. What else?
Well, of course, we're going to have the annual dance of the driver's licenses.
What's that dance? How's that go?
Back in 2003, when Bill Richardson was governor and the Democrats were in firm control of the legislature, they passed a law that you don't have to prove you're a citizen to get a driver's license.
And what was the theory behind that?
The theory is a lot of law enforcement actually supported it. It gets people in the system so they're not afraid to come forward if there's a crime, you know, a violent crime. It gets people registered and hopefully insured on the roads.
And it requires that they take a test, right?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. And so you have, you know, fewer unlicensed drivers on the road. That's the theory behind it. What the proponents of banning that say is that it's like a gateway for terrorists to come to New Mexico and get their license here, then go get other legitimate ID. So Governor Martinez has been trying to ban it for the last 4 years. And sometimes it'll pass the House, even when the Democrats were in slight control. And it usually goes to die in the Senate. And that's what I think everybody's kind of expecting again this year. Some people have proposed compromises like Utah, which is not a very liberal state, but they have a deal where they have two-tiered licenses. If you can't prove you're a citizen, you get a driving permit. And some people have advocated that. The governor doesn't like that idea. And so we might see that idea emerge, but probably get defeated also.
Yeah, a lot of time wasted, unfortunately. You know, when it just goes around and around and nothing is decided.
Yeah, well, it's like cockfighting was years ago.
Oh,
you know,
right.
Well, it has like cockfighting day at the legislature because that's everything stopped for to ban vicious roosters. So, things like this, just, there's all these perennial things that But the real-time waste, at least, you know, that's a real issue. At least that's real things going on. The real-time wasting is they have all these memorials, all right. this non-binding stuff.
Right.
Sometimes they'll get into debates over national policy that we have no power over. And
naming it Hollis Walker Day at the legislature. And
yeah.
Dragging
yeah.
my whole family
well,
up
I've been
there
lobbying for that bill, so.
What about increasing the minimum wage?
Well, I don't think it has much of a chance, actually, unless the Republicans in the House agree that it won't be as much. It won't be up to $10, I don't think. Mm-hmm. The governor in the past has said she supports like an $8 minimum wage.
And what is it now? Seven?
Yeah, seven. Yeah, I do make slightly more than that at the New Mexican. But, yeah, it's been a while since I remember making $1.30 an hour at Lotaburger when I was a kid. But, I was jealous because all my friends made $1.35. But I had more money in my pocket back then than I do now. But
right.
So there may be some kind of that. But I haven't heard the Republicans saying, yeah, we're going to get this $8 minimum wage through. I've heard Michael Sanchez, he's a majority leader in the Senate, say that that's going to be a bill coming out of the Senate, minimum wage. If one does pass, it'll be pared down. It'll be closer to $8 than 10.
Than 10, yeah. But no one, even the governor, wants to look as if she is against paying people who make very little money a teeny bit more.
Well, the governor said she would support an $8 wage, that is a very popular issue. There's a lot of that's one of the few like left-wing ideas that has a lot of popular support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no one wants to look like they're against it. You know, so
right. Yeah.
So it could happen, but it will be a modest increase.
What about economic development issues? Anything on the table?
Well, the Republicans cast the right to work as an economic development issue.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That'll be the biggest thing.
Right.
I don't see any major tax reforms or tax incentives. I saw a story today that when Tim Keller was a senator, he always pushed this thing, and it was very popular of both parties, to have what they call a tax expenditure study, to look at all our tax breaks, all our tax incentives, to see which ones are working and which aren't. And that bill was always vetoed, whether it was Bill Richardson or Susana Martinez. And so now Tim Keller is auditor, and he's going to try to do it to the auditor's office, at least some version of that.
I read that story this morning, and, you know, I thought, I want one of those jobs. I want to go out and get the, you know, do the audit and find the fiscal malfeasance where, you know, his example was kind of benign, where he said one example could be the tax money that was supposed to go for a baseball field.
Going to a playground.
Going to a playground. But, you know,
yeah,
it could
that's the least of our worries.
Yeah, but it could be a lot bigger things than that.
Oh, yeah.
And we spend, and I think part of the point is we spend so much money administrating taxes that if you're having this tax, you're spending more money to administer it than it is benefiting. Then, you know, it's stupid. So.
Yeah, and then a lot of these capital outlay projects, they just sit there for years, and they'll fund a little bit a year, and they just won't spend any money, and so all this money sitting in this big pot, theoretical pot someplace. When we had the big fiscal crisis a few years ago, that's actually one way they helped balance the budget. They got rid of a lot of these projects that were just sitting there for years and years.
Yeah, so the news is if you get a capital outlay, you better spend it, right?
Yeah, that's theoretically, but seems like, you know, it never really sinks in.
So what about, we've got more than one state official that's in a job that needs to be confirmed, but Hannah Scandera being the biggest one. She's been at public education head for how many years now? Four?
Since Governor Martinez took over. And the thing, it's the Senate confirmation to me seems kind of silly and outdated, because if they don't confirm you, as long as they don't vote against you, you could sit there for 4 years, as Hannah has, mm-hmm. make the same salary, mm-hmm. but and you're supposed to put, you know, secretary designate in your title. There was a little bit of controversy a couple of years ago when she just started calling herself secretary instead of, you know, the administration. And there's a little bit of pushback to that because she has not been confirmed.
And why is that? Why won't they confirm her?
The main issue, well, the main thing is they're just against Governor Martinez's policies, you know, on the Democrats. Teachers' unions, and a lot of teachers do not like her because she's never been a teacher. She's never been a principal. And that's one of the qualifications, is having experience in education. Now, she was, she did help direct Governor Jeb Bush's education policies in Florida. So you can argue that's education experience, so it's not classroom experience.
Right.
And so teachers feel that she should, know what teachers are going through and the principals. And
she should understand the system from the inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a legitimate argument.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, the policies aren't going to change whether Hannah Scandera is there or someone new. It'd be almost symbolic if they voted her down. I don't think they have the votes to vote her down.
Uh-huh.
I think, and that's why they haven't let it go to the floor. The closest she's gotten is that the Rules Committee voted to table her nomination. So, who's that? She's kind of been in limbo all these years, but she still makes the same paycheck. She still does the same job. And so the Senate confirmation just seems kind of irrelevant in a way. It's just symbolic.
It's sort of like laughing all the way to the bank,
Yeah.
But what about Monique Jacobson, the former tourism secretary that's supposed to come in as the head of CYFD, the Children, Youth, and Families Division?
Yeah, there's going to be some pushback to that. Senator Padilla, Michael Padilla from Albuquerque, who is the majority whip in the Senate, is firmly against it. Now, Jake Candelaria, Senator Candelaria from Albuquerque, is a Democrat, very liberal Democrat, says he supports it. She might end up being confirmed, but there's the confirmation will be interesting, and it won't be unanimous.
And the argument is that she has no experience in that realm, really.
Right, right. She's her background is in marketing. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody's praised her work as a tourism secretary, almost everybody. People who were fired at New Mexico Magazine, I know, aren't praising her that high, but most people have praised her, the work she's done at the tourism department, but that's a different thing than kids. And the argument is, do you need somebody with a background in social work,
right,
or somebody who's going to administer a department and delegate authority, and
right.
Yeah,
you'd expect, there is an expectation to see a 60-year-old battle axe social worker, usually a woman all her life, in there, raising hell and taking names. And here's this young woman who has a background in marketing. Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see what's happening. And then there's a human services, Brent Ernest, the guy who's taking over.
There'll be some of the behavioral health controversy brought up during that. But both sides like Brent Ernest.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the department for years in a high position, and most people like him. Sydney Weaver, is that her name? No, I was Sydney Squire. Who was I thinking of?
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, different person. She's kind of an ideologue, and her temperament. She stalked out of a committee hearing one time a few years ago on this behavioral health issue.
You're talking about Sydney Squire.
Sydney Squire, yeah. Uh-huh. Not Sigourney Weaver. but she stalked out, and so she was always at loggerheads with with her critics. At one point in the committee hearing, she wouldn't take questions from Senator Cisco McSorley.
Wow.
And who is a harsh critic, but no one had ever seen that before.
Yeah.
And a lot of Republicans didn't even come to her defense during that time.
Mm-hmm.
They were just kind of like, so I think Brent Ernest will have a fairly easy time getting confirmed.
And there's one other, Tom Blaines, the state engineer.
Yeah, I don't see any problems
with
there. He hadn't been controversial at all. I mean, there'll be discussion of water policy, of course.
Sure.
But I don't see any opposition to him at this point.
What about, are there any quirky bills? What about hemp farming?
There's hemp farming, there's marijuana legalization or decriminalization. I don't see those going that far in a Republican-controlled House. And even Democrats aren't most of them aren't listing that as their top priority. And, you know, if it's not your top priority, you argue it's a waste of time, even though there's, like we said before, you know, dozens of time wasters we can. But, yeah, I don't see it going too far. The discussion will be going. I've always said about the marijuana issue, it'll pass in New Mexico when you get agriculture behind it.
Right.
You get those conservative farmers who are in the legislature from the east side. Then we'll start getting serious about marijuana legalization.
Well, we should say that some bills, that's the way of legislating, is you introduce a bill over and over and over again, and every year you advance a little further with your arguments, and then down the road it gets passed. You know?
And also a lot of people are waiting to see what happens in Colorado.
Right, yeah.
You know, so far the world hadn't collapsed in Colorado with legal marijuana. But,
and Colorado's a conservative state.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. In some ways, yeah. They have a Democratic governor. And
right.
They used to have a Democratic senator there. Well, they still have one. But, yeah, it's... There have been some problems, but you know, with any new law, there's going to be some problems. But I think it would give Colorado 5 years or so, and then I think the talk about it in New Mexico would become much more serious.
Biggest challenge for you this session, or the thing you're looking forward to the most?
Well, what I'm looking forward to the most is what we've talked about is. In fact, it's going to be something new.
Right.
You know, I've never covered a Republican House, so that'll be that's going to be fun. And it's I probably won't be saying it's fun like the last couple of weeks of the session.
60 days is a long time.
But that's I'm looking forward to that. And
and are you going to stop wearing a bolo tie and start wearing a real tie? You know, to get in with the Republicans.
I haven't actually worn a bolo tie in a while either.
Oh.
But now the bolo tie is our state neckwear, and I'm proud to have a bunch of bolo ties.
Steve Terrell, legislative reporter from the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Thank you so much for being with
me. Thanks for asking
me,
Hollis. Appreciate
it. You bet.